come again to consider this mother of Zebedee's children, namely Salome. The last Sabbath day we considered Salome and her ministry. She was one of those women who followed the Lord from Galilee to Jerusalem. And in following the Lord, she ministered unto him. We considered what it was to be a follower of Christ, and to be a true disciple of the Lord, and be a true follower of the Lord Jesus. Then we are to die to self. And without a doubt, Salome died to self. And following our message last week, we found a couple of verses that really illustrates this particular matter. And the words are these: less of self and more of Jesus. Less of man and more of God. Earnest prayer of many workers in the vineyard of the Lord. Less of self and more of Jesus girds the soul with power, with holy power, brightens life and sweetens labor in the use of every hour. Less of self and more of Jesus, less of man and more of God. Earnest prayer of many workers in the vineyard of the Lord. There's one more verse I want to give you. Less of self and more of Jesus pleads the saint in earnest prayer. For he labors souls to rescue from the tempter's cruel snare. Self-concealed, faith works its wonders. Trusts the merit of the blood. Claims for Christ the sinner's ransom. Leads the penitent to God. Less of self and more of Jesus. Less of man and more of God. Earnest prayer of many workers in the vineyard of the Lord. And how well and aptly that describes this woman, Salome. She didn't live for self, she lived for the Savior. Serving the Lord from Galilee to Jerusalem. We know that also, not only was she a saved woman, she was a serving woman, and she was a sacrificing woman. Because we know that in Matthew 27 and verse 55, that she followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. And she ministered unto him of her own substance. Luke 8 and verse 3. There was no reluctance in Salome's part in giving to the Lord. She ministered unto him of her own substance. Whatever she had, she gave to Christ. Because all that she had, why, it came from the Lord anyway. And Salome ministered unto him. And then we noted briefly, not only Salome in her ministry, but Salome as a mother. And here in Matthew 20, we see Salome as a mother. She is the mother of Zebedee's children. And we know from Matthew 4 that those children were James and John, two of the Lord's disciples. And you think of how this family was blessed. There is Salome, the mother, serving the Lord, ministering unto him of her own substance, and her two sons ministered unto the Lord, namely James and John. And with regard to this mother, we noted her devotion. A mother's devotion. We're told here in the verse 20, of Matthew 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping. And so there you have Salome, and she came worshipping the Lord, but she came with her two sons, We noted her devotion to her Savior because she came to the Lord worshipping. Now, she'd been with the Lord for over 3 years, ministering unto Him, remember, from Galilee, from the time that the Lord called James and John to be His disciples. That's when Salome began ministering unto the Lord. And so she had been with the Lord on many occasions. As we noted in Luke 8, the Lord had visited many cities and many villages, but all the while Salome was one of those women who ministered unto Him. And even though she had been with Him on all occasions, yet she still reverenced Him. She did not become over familiar with Him. But rather we find here that when she came to Him, she came worshipping. She came in that reverent fashion, worshipping the Lord. And so no matter when we approach the Lord, we should never be over familiar with the Lord and the way we address Him and the way we speak to Him. But rather we are to come to the Lord and go to Him, worshipping Him. She was devoted to her Savior. She was devoted to her sons. From the time that James and John followed Christ, Salome became a follower also. And she ministered unto Him along with her sons. And as we pointed out last week, some commentators are very critical of Salome because of this request that she brought to the Lord. What was that request? In verse 21, "And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom." Now we pointed out that James and John were the ones that were behind this request. We noted that in Mark 10 and verses 35 and 36 and 37. That James and John were the ones behind this request. That no doubt they had suggested this matter to their mother. And the mother, being the mother she was, would have done anything for James and John. And so the mother was the one who brought this request to the Lord. But James and John were the ones that were behind it. And we pointed out, as we read this morning, the 10. The other 10 disciples were not pleased with James and John. It doesn't say that they were angry with Salome, but they were most certainly angry with James and John. They were behind it. But it shows us that the fact that Salome made this request on behalf of the sons shows us and points out to us her devotion to her sons. She was a mother in many ways who would have done anything for James and John. And then we come and continue on with the study. We look now not only at Salome and her devotion, but let us consider Salome's desire. Salome's desire. Again, we look at it in the verse 20. She said unto him, "Grant that these my two sons may sit the one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "Ye know not what ye ask." Evidently, Salome had not thought the thing through. Her sons had suggested it to her, and if her sons suggested it, no doubt Salome felt, well, it must be all right. After all, my two sons are two of the Lord's disciples, the inner circle of the disciples. So if they had made the suggestion, it must be all right. And the Lord said to her, and in speaking to Salome, he was speaking to James and John, For he was saying to her and to them, ye know not what you ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. They say, you see now, Salome was the one who brought the request. But James and John are the ones who answered the Lord. When he said, are ye able to drink the drink that I shall drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'll be baptized with? The Lord, of course, is speaking about his sufferings on Calvary. And James and John said, yes, we are able. No wonder the Lord said to them, ye know not what you ask. But in considering Salome here and her desire, notice Salome's approach. For it says in verse 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children. Then came to him. You see, Salome had something on her heart. And she knew that she could approach the Lord with this matter that was on her heart. For that's what it says. Then came to him the mother of Salome's children. Salome knew that her Savior was very approachable. You know the way you've been, you need something done. And somebody says to you, well, why don't you see so-and-so? They could do it for you. And maybe in reply you say, oh, no, I wouldn't like to ask him. I wouldn't like to ask him. You know, he can be very sharp, you know, and I wouldn't like to ask him. That wasn't the case with the Savior. Salome had something on her heart. There was something that she needed. And she felt that she could go to the Lord with it because he was approachable. She knew that he wouldn't turn her away. She knew that he wouldn't be angry with her or would frown upon her. She knew that the Lord would only be too willing to listen. That's how approachable the Savior was. Indeed, when you look there at Salome approaching the Lord, the first thing the Lord said in verse 21, what wilt thou? It was as if the Lord said to Salome, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? What wilt thou? And you know, that ought to be the attitude of we as Christians. What can I do for you? How can I help you? The Lord Jesus said to Salome, what wilt thou? How can I help you? And believer, you and I know how approachable the Lord Jesus is. That when we go to him in prayer, he will say the same to us, what wilt thou? Has he not encouraged us to pray? Has he not encouraged us to ask of him? Has he not said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What wilt thou? I will do it. And my, when someone says that to us, whatever you ask, I will do it. Well, that's an indication that person is approachable. You'll not be reluctant in going to that person if he's willing to do whatsoever we ask. And yet, why are we so reluctant to go to him to ask when we know he's so willing to answer? When you think of it, you think of the Lord's ministry and the Gospels as it's recorded there. And you think of the number of people who approached the Lord. Even lepers approached him. Because they knew they could approach him. They knew he was approachable. They wouldn't have gone to any of the rabbis or any of the priests. They would have avoided them. They weren't approachable. Christ was. You think of those who were lame, those who were sick, those who were languishing in their sin. They were all able to approach him. Even Legion approached him. When Legion saw him afar off, he ran and fell down at his feet. Dear Christian, the Lord Jesus is most approachable. No matter when we go to him, we'll always find a welcome. And every time he will say, "What wilt thou? What can I do?" So you have Salome's approach, and then you have Salome asking. This loving mother, you know, can teach us much about prayer and about petitioning the Lord. Because in her going to Christ, we are told that she did so, listen, desiring a certain thing of him. Desiring a certain thing of him. And so she went to the Lord with a desire in her heart. Why do we go to the Lord in prayer? Because we have desires in our hearts. There are certain things that we desire that only the Lord can help us with, that only the Lord can answer. Only the Lord can grant those desires to us. And she went to the Lord, we're told, desiring a certain thing. In other words, in her asking, she focused on a certain thing. She was evidently burdened about a certain thing. Something that she was concerned about or desired above everything else. That shows us her devotion to her sons. This desire that she had involved her two sons, and it was above everything else. Everything else that Salome desired took second place to this certain thing. As I say, Salome can teach us much about prayer. If there's a certain thing on our hearts, if there's a burden upon our hearts, then we should go to the Lord with that certain thing and pray about that certain thing and petition the Lord about that certain thing. We're to be definite with our prayers. You recall later when Peter was imprisoned and Herod would have slain him. We are told in Acts 12 and verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. For him. In other words, the church got together to pray for him. They concentrated their prayers on Peter. And here is Salome, and she concentrates her petition on her two sons. She had a certain thing to ask. When I was in Newton Abbey one Sabbath evening, I received a phone call from one of our ministers, Reverend McCrae, actually. He already phoned around other ministers and asked us to go over to his church that Sabbath evening after our own meeting, because a woman had stayed behind and had made inquiries about salvation. Apparently, he had brought her into the minister's room. He and Mrs. McRae and one of the elders went into the minister's room with this woman. And as Mr. McRae was dealing with her and showing her the way of salvation, when it came to the point where he mentioned the blood, this woman went berserk. And she got very, very angry. And it was an evident example of a woman who was demon-possessed. That's what Mr. McRae believed. She hated the blood. Once the blood was mentioned, she went crazy. And Mr. McRae asked the ministers who ever were available to go over to Macrafeld for a special season of prayer to pray for the deliverance of this woman. Now, quite a number of ministers turned up that night, and elders, and we had a special time of prayer that night for the deliverance of this woman. And the point that I'm making is this, that we gathered there for prayer because we desired a certain thing. We desired the deliverance of this woman. We didn't go there to pray for our missionaries. We didn't go to pray for the outreach team. We didn't go to pray for the Sabbath school. All things that need to be prayed for. But on that night, we went there to pray for a certain thing. And that was the deliverance of this woman. And here we have Salome, and she goes to the Lord, and she has a burden on her heart, and she's praying and petitioning the Lord for a certain thing. That's what she concentrated on. And we can learn from Salome. Is there something upon our hearts today? Is there something that has been on our hearts for a long time? Well, when we get before the Lord, pray about that certain thing. Bring that matter before the Lord. Concentrate on that matter. Even as Salome did. So we have seen her approach. We have noted her asking. And then we have Salome's ambition. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons. Here was her ambition. Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Now we can see from her petition that Salome wanted the very best for her two sons. And what mother doesn't want the best for her sons and her daughters? What mother doesn't want the best for her children? Now granted, James and John, in all probability, suggested this to their mother. Said, we would like to sit one on the left and one on the right hand of the throne of the kingdom of heaven. And as I said before, Salome, in all probability, thought, well, that would be good. We'd like to see my sons there, not knowing, of course, what she asked. But she wanted the best for her children. She wanted the best for James and John. And surely it's our love, as it was with Salome. It's our love for our children, our sons and daughters, that we want the best for them, and that's what brings us to Christ, to pray that our sons and our daughters might have the best. That is the best with regard to their spiritual welfare. the best with regard to protection from this evil and wicked world. And believer, when you think of how wicked this world is today, in this day in which we live, what is it going to be like in 10 years or 20 years? What is it going to be like when our grandchildren are in their teens and in their 20s? What is the world going to be like then, when it's so wicked now? And think of how far this world has degenerated over the past 20 years. And how the depravity, the total depravity of man is coming more and more to the fore today. What's it going to be like in 10 and 20 years? Would the love of Christ, or the love for our children, not then drive us to the Lord? Lord, protect my children. Lord, save children early in life. Lord, keep them from the evil of this world. Surely that's what would bring us to the Lord. We'd want the best for them, not only in this world, but in the world to come. Such was Salome's love for her sons. But then we notice that Salome was denied this request. Even though her request came from a heart of love, the Lord denied her request, and saying, verse 22, ye know not what ye ask. You notice something there, that Salome came to the Lord desiring a certain thing of him. And the Lord said, what wilt thou? And she said, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered. He still answered. But the answer was no. And sometimes the Lord's answers to us is no. But he still answers. No from the Lord is an answer. He may not have answered Salome or indeed James and John in the way that they might have expected, but he still answered. But the answer in this occasion was no. Ye know not what ye ask. This reminds us of the words of Peter, there in the Mount of Transfiguration. When Peter was ready to build three tabernacles, and in Luke chapter 9 and verse 33, and it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto him, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make thee three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. Not knowing what he said. Just as the Lord said to Salome, ye know not what you ask. Peter didn't know what he was asking for. He really hadn't put a great deal of thought into what he was asking for. And here this reply to Salome's request reminds us also of the words of James. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. That's why James and John made this request, to consume it upon their lusts. They wanted that high and exalted position above the other disciples. That's why they were not pleased with James and John's request. But here we see Salome, who had put to the Lord this request of James and John, and she had asked and received not because she asked amiss. Evidently what Salome had asked for was not according to the will of the Lord. And John gives us a clear directive when it comes to prayer. 1 John 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now we are to ask. He encourages us to ask. Ask and you shall receive. Ask and it shall be given unto you. But in our asking, we must ask in accordance to the Lord's will. If we don't ask in accordance with His will, the Lord's answer to us every time will be no. But if we ask in accordance with His will, as John says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth. We can go to the Lord with confidence if we know what the will of the Lord is. And if we ask according to His will, we're confident the Lord will answer. And the answer will be yes. The answer will not be no. And there it is. There's the key to having our prayers answered. We must ask, yes, but we must ask according to His will. And Salome's desire was a fleshly desire. And so she was denied. So we have considered Salome and her ministry. Salome as a mother. And finally, we have Salome and her mourning. The final scene in the life of Salome is over in Matthew 27. You turn to Matthew 27. And there in Matthew 27, and we read in verse 55, and many women were there, that is, at the cross, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto Him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. So the mother of Zebedee's children, namely Salome, was there. And many women were there. Those two words seem to jump out at us in that verse 55. And many women were there. They were at the cross. And here we see then, first of all, Salome's presence at the cross. She was present there. We're told that many women were there beholding afar off. And numbered with those women indeed was the mother of Zebedee's children. What does this show us about Salome? Tells us something about how consistent her life was. How consistent her life was. Mark the words. She was one of those which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto Him. Yet she had followed Him all the way from Galilee to Jerusalem. So she wasn't going to leave Him now. She wasn't going to leave him to hang there on that cross and suffer alone. Salome was there. She was there at the cross. He may have been regarded by some as a malefactor. But whatever they said about Christ, Salome wasn't for leaving him. She was there. He may have been numbered with the transgressors and regarded as a transgressor. But that was not going to hinder Salome from being there and standing with her Lord on that day when Christ would have needed company most of all. She was there. He may have been regarded by some as a blasphemer. He may have been regarded by some as a deceiver. He may have been called Beelzebub. But that didn't make any difference to Salome. Salome was there. She was loyal to her Savior. Right to the very end. She was not ashamed of her Lord. Whatever they said about him. Others may have been ashamed of him, but Salome wasn't. Isn't she a wonderful woman? She could easily have said, "And I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, nor to defend his cause, maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross." And that's where Salome was. She was at the cross. She had followed him all the way from Galilee and she wasn't going to leave him now. Even though he hung upon that accursed tree, still she remained a follower of Christ. Remember, a true follower of Christ, what is a true follower of Christ? One who follows the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Even when the banner of the cross is blood-stained and torn, we must follow on. Even when the storms of adversity roll, we must follow on. Even when our King is nailed to a cross of shame, still we must follow on. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I will follow on. Even to the cross of shame, I will follow him there. Salome followed Christ to the cross of shame. And she, along with the other women, were there. That's it. She was there. She was consistent. And I believe something else. She was a comfort. She had followed him from Galilee and ministered unto him. And there she is at the cross. But what can she do now? Nothing. What can she do? She couldn't minister unto him now of her substance. She wasn't in a position to wash his feet now. She wasn't in a position to make his meals now. But look, while she stood there at the cross, albeit afar off, nevertheless she was there. And I'll tell you something, she was still ministering unto him. Oh, she wasn't washing his feet or making his meals. But she was still ministering unto him. She was ministering unto him by just being there, bringing him comfort in his time of suffering. And you know what it's like You know what it's like perhaps when you suffer loss and have suffered loss and friends rally round. And you know there's not a great deal that they can do to ease the pain and to mend the broken heart, but you appreciate them just being there. Just being there is a comfort. Just to have them wrapped around, to come and put their arm around you, that's a comfort. Can you imagine then how much of a comfort this was for the Savior? To have someone like Salome and the others who had ministered on to him for over 3 years, to have them there beside him at the cross. That was a comfort. It must have been, after all, he's man. We know that Christ is God. But he has feelings like you and I. And when his friends rallied around, what a comfort that must have been. And dear Christian, let us be like Salome. Let us make sure that we will be there. We'll be there for that brother or sister in their time of need and in their time of sorrow. Let us be there for them. Let us say to them, I'll be there for you. Because that's how it was with Salome. And we should remember the words of Proverbs 18 and verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If we have friends, and we all have, then let us show ourselves friendly towards them in their time of need. Speaks to us of her comfort. Mary being there shows us how consistent she was. I'll tell you something else. It speaks of her courage. Her courage. The verse states, and many women were there, including Salome. And we ask the question, where were her sons? Where was James and John? They had all forsaken him and fled. Matthew 26 and verse 31. 26 and 31. And there we read, then saith Jesus unto them, his disciples, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. All ye shall be, listen, all ye shall be offended because of me. The word offended is a word that means scandalized. You'll all be scandalized because of me. It's hard to believe, isn't it? In other words, the Savior was saying to his disciples, you will regard it as a scandal by being associated with me this night. You'll regard it as a scandal. And you'll leave me. You'll be offended. You'll not want to be seen with me tonight. It'll be a scandal to be seen with me tonight. Isn't that amazing? And yet, There at the cross is Salome. That speaks of her courage. When her sons were scattered, when her sons were ashamed of the Lord, Salome was there. Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend, on whom my hopes of heaven depend, no, when I blush to be this my shame, that I no more revere thy name. Believer, may we never be ashamed of Christ, no matter what. You have her preparation. From Golgotha, the mother of Zebedee's children then went to the garden. And in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, the opening two verses, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Salome, there she is again, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. Was there anything more that Salome could do? She was there for him at the cross. Now they have taken his body down, has been wrapped in the grave clothes, and has been placed in the tomb. And now it's the first day of the week. Was there anything more that Salome could do? As far as she was concerned, yes, there was. And she, along with Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, went to the sepulchre. But sure, he's dead, as far as they were concerned. But still they felt, and Salome felt, there was more that she could do. And she went there to anoint the body of Christ. What an amazing woman. You recall earlier on when Mary anointed the Lord and the disciples criticized her, and old Judas said this ointment could have been sold and the money given to the poor. The Savior said, let her alone. She hath done what she could. She had brought the ointment to anoint the Lord before his burial. You look at Salome, and Salome did what she could. She came to anoint the Lord as he lay in the grave. They wondered who would roll the stone away that they could anoint him. Here is Salome, serving the Lord right to the very end. Believer, what more could she do? We can learn a lot from Salome. And in the last place, you have her publication. Because in Matthew 28, we go back to Matthew, and with this we close. Matthew 28 and verse 8. Salome is included in this number, it says in verse 8, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. When they arrived at the sepulchre, the stone was rolled away, the sepulchre was empty, and two angels sat there and said, why seek ye the living amongst the dead? He is not here. He has risen. And the angel told Salome and the other women, go and tell his disciples. And Salome was one of the first people to spread the news and to tell the story, Jesus Christ is alive. And believer, that's where we say farewell to Salome. They departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. What a woman. What a wonderful woman. We say farewell to Salome as she brings the disciples' word. She's spreading the word. Believer, when people say farewell to us and we say farewell to this world, may we still be spreading the word that Jesus Christ is alive. What a wonderful woman, Salome, the mother of Zebedee's children, was. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O loving and gracious Father, we bless Thee, Lord, for the testimony of these women we've been looking at in the Scriptures, those godly women. And surely, Lord, this was a godly woman. We thank Thee for the memory of Salome. We thank Thee, Lord, that she was a wonderful mother to her sons. What an example she was. And even when they fled, left the Savior at the cross, Salome remained there. O gracious Lord, give us all the spirit of Salome. May we serve the Lord even right to the very end. And may we ever be found spreading the word that Jesus Christ is alive. Lord, write Thy holy word upon our hearts. Pray it'll be an encouragement to us this day. It will enable us to go on and go through with God. Be with us, Lord, as we part the one from the other. Take us to our homes in safety. And return us, Lord, to Thy house this evening, once again to worship Thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.